Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We often talk about the transition of assets from a whole bunch of different perspectives, right? But one of the things, Faisal, you and I talk to people about is about how it's a gift, right? When you have a legacy that you're putting together, it's a gift you're going to leave behind.
Yeah.
And I've not had anybody ever say to me, the gift I want to leave behind is a lawsuit and a family dynamic where everybody's arguing and there's all kinds of problems. Nobody has ever said that. Fair?
Very, very fair.
All right.
Or give money to Revenue Canada.
Or give money to Revenue Canada.
Can you
Canada.
Make Revenue Canada my number one beneficiary on my list, please?
Nobody's ever said that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So given that, there are some complexities when we talk about blended families, right? And there's lots of people in a situation where it's a second marriage, and that just adds a bit of complexity to how that gift is going to be given.
Yeah. Conventionally, when you're in your first marriage and you have your own children, it's pretty much linear in how things are. The minute you start off with a second spouse, and that individual has children of their own. Now you're called a blended family.
Yep.
And now things get a little bit more tricky.
Right.
So I want to bring up a conversation that I had with a client of ours. This is a blended family, husband and wife. Wife has kids from her previous marriage. Husband has kids from his previous marriage. And here his fear is that if he passes away, predeceases his wife, that all the money will go to his wife, and then when she passes, all will go to her children, and his children are left out.
Sure, fair concern.
So what he was thinking of is, he goes, Faisal, what if I put everything in like a program, a trust, or something, where my wife can have full enjoyment of the assets, the property, the principal residence, for the next 10 years, then after that, it all goes to my kids. So she's got 10 years to figure herself out after I die, and then my kids get the rest of the money. Well, that kind of brought a little weird feeling in my stomach, like, oh, okay, well, hang on. Financially, I can get that, my head around that. But what about the legal issues?
Right.
Does the law allow that? Is there's some rules possibly that we have to explore? And because, well, A, I'm not a lawyer. B, too complex for my little brain. So we got to have big brain, smart brain, and a lawyer on board
right.
here. And that's why we're joined with Jennifer Lamb, partner at Carsgallon LLP. Jennifer is a reoccurring guest. She knows her stuff when it comes to estate planning, one of the best, if I call her the best, when it comes to estate litigation. So she gets in front of judges talking and arguing about these types of cases. So you want to know what gets in front of a judge. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Faisal and Dave, for having me. It's always a pleasure to come on and share our war stories and hopefully share some really helpful and informative tips to all of our listeners and our good clients.
Now, listen, Jen, no disrespect to you because you do a wonderful job, but nobody ever wants to meet you professionally because it means there's a problem that's happened, right? So the goal today is to try to get you out of business and help people structure in a way that they don't ever have to meet you professionally. Personally, I would recommend anybody to meet you. You're a wonderful person. So let's talk about Faisal's, the situation that came up with Faisal. What can that client do?
So this, and for this type of scenario or similar scenarios involving usually blended families and several adult children, well, it doesn't have to be adult children, but also minors can be involved. There is the starting point of knowing that one's obligation is to provide for your spouse or adult interdependent partner and your dependent children on your death. And so using your recent example of your client, well, that might be a valid concern as to making sure that one's legacy is left for a second or third spouse for a period of time, and then the remainder to biological children. That isn't always the way that a court or our law might see that as just and fair. So again, the starting point is there is a legal and moral obligation to provide for a spouse or adult interdependent partner. And that your client's situation would mean that 10 years may not be adequate. That might mean that there is an obligation to provide for much longer than that. And so in Alberta, we have this tension, and as in most provinces, although there are very distinct certain provinces that have very different laws on wills and succession, but there is an obligation to provide for your spouse into the lifestyle that they were accustomed to while you were living. And so it is a very tricky problem. So talking about an estate plan, of course you don't want to have litigation after you're gone. You don't want your family members and your spouse and your adult children fighting with one another about who is entitled to what. And so open and honest communication right from the get-go will help these families to really decide what will bulletproof their estate from any unfortunate litigation that might happen after they pass away.
So Jennifer, the thoughts that were going through my male client's mind was when these two individuals got together, they didn't come together with equivalent amount of assets. So he brought more to the table from an asset perspective than she did. And so his concern is if he was to pass away and she has the same lifestyle for the rest of her life, that there may not be any assets left behind for his children. So how do we solve for that problem? Does the law take into account that there are biological children that also need to be accounted for? Or does it say, suck to be you, child, you're adult, you're on your own, your dad just got remarried, so she takes priority?
You know what, that's such a common problem, and it shocks most of my clients when I tell them the news that adult children in Alberta that do not have a physical or mental disability that prevents them from earning an income, those adult children have no entitlement to a parent's estate. You have to prove dependency and fall within the definition of a family member under the Wills and Succession Act. So very different from BC. In British Columbia, the Wills Variation Act, I believe, that is where you do want to be an estate litigator in Canada, because they have the most interesting cases because of the fact that adult children can say, hey, wait a second, I'm entitled to something from mom or dad's estate. So again, speaking to your client, a very valid concern that he would have, one of my questions would be, did they have a prenuptial agreement in place that talked about how their assets would be divided on divorce? And that a court, if there were estate litigation following this gentleman's death and the wife decided to bring a claim against his estate, a prenuptial agreement would be one of many factors that the court looks at when deciding a claim for maintenance and support. I've just had new clients in, we spoke actually over the weekend, a very similar concern. They're married, they had no children together, married for 24 years. She has a son from a prior marriage. She's got concerns about leaving her entire estate to her spouse. He's only 60. Her son is 37. I said the example was, of course you would leave him something, but perhaps not the entire thing. And the scenarios that we ran through, what if he got remarried in a number of years? He's only 60. And perhaps he became demented. Perhaps he became the victim of elder abuse. And then all of a sudden, my client, the wife, who would then be deceased, all of her legacy would potentially fall into hands that she would have never intended for them to receive. And so we talked about what an appropriate split would be between providing adequately for her husband, but also providing for her adult son, who does not have any legal entitlement, but who she would want to see him have something. So again, a very common scenario.
The complexity of a blended family just gets elevated right off the get-go. Yeah. And Jennifer talked about a prenuptial agreement and so forth. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk to Jennifer about if you have a prenup, if you don't have a prenup, there's postnuptial agreements nowadays. So does that change the outlook? Because what we're hearing from what Jennifer's saying is that you still got to take care of your spouse. Yep. And so how does that get vision? And has there been any cases that we can kind of touch on and say, okay, here's some ideas that people can think about? And of course, we talk about planning and structure about this legacy bucket all the time. It's very complex. It is not an easy solution of just write up a will and away you go. There's some intrinsics behind it. We talk about the legacy bucket. We talk about bulletproofing your retirement. And we're going to discuss this topic at our next webinar on Tuesday, August 24th, 7 p.m., live online. Now, you need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
And stick around after the break to make sure that your wealth stays in the family just as you intended. You're on 770 CHQR.